the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jenny and I spent the last 10 or 11 days traveling through Israel and Palestine, visiting multiple historical and holy sites nearly every day. One of the most impactful visits for me, though, wasn't some church or monastery or sacred stone meant to be the very one that was mentioned in the Bible, but rather this orphanage we went to in Bethlehem. It was a fitting place for an orphanage, not only because it was the birthplace of Jesus, the child for whom no one would make room in their home, and so he was laid in a manger, but also because one of the things that early Christians were known for, one of the great peculiarities that was noteworthy enough to be mentioned by a number of early writers about these first followers of this new religion, was that they would take in the cast-off children of the families of other religions, the disabled or unwanted infants that parents had left to die, and the Christians would raise them as their own. This ministry was a foundational one for our faith tradition. This particular orphanage, called St. Vincent's Creche, was run by the Sisters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul and had about 50 orphan children, boys and girls from newborn to 6 years old. The children came from young Muslim girls who became pregnant out of wedlock and had to give up the child so as not to disgrace their family, or from broken homes that were unfit to nurture children, or simply infants abandoned at the hospital or the police station and brought to the nuns. Bethlehem is in the West Bank area, part of the country governed by Palestinians, and so by law, all the children in the orphanage were designated as Muslim. However, there were surely moments when the nuns' Christian faith and love penetrated the children in these formative years. One such story they told was when a priest visited around Christmas time and brought enough gifts for every child to have one to open. This made the children curious as to why, because this had never happened to them before. So the nuns were able to explain to them the story of Jesus and the Magi, and even took a small group of about 6 of the older children to the Church of the Nativity to see the place they believed to have been the cave where the animals were, where Jesus was born. The nuns told these children that Jesus' family was so poor that they had nowhere else to put him, so they stayed with the animals and laid him in a little stone manger. But one little girl spoke up and said, "Sister, he was not poor at all, because he had a mom and dad who loved him and took care of him." After telling us all about the orphanage, they gave us a tour and we could interact with the children. Before going into the playroom with the older kids, one of the workers explained to us that in addition to the orphans, the rather large facility was also used to offer childcare for a number of day students from poor families that needed to work but had no one to take care of their children during the day and could not afford a more expensive option. So they came in the morning and intermingled with the orphans who lived there full time and were picked up after work. The social worker said to us, "You'll be able to tell immediately which children belong to which category, because the orphans will come and cling to anyone who will show them affection, because there's this void in them. And they'll be possessive of any toy they had in their hands, because it's theirs, at least for that moment." When they're otherwise entitled to nothing in the world, the day students, he said, would be more well-adjusted, knowing that they had love and toys and a home waiting for them, and that this was just a temporary place. He was right, and it was immediately painfully evident. The moment I walked to the center of the room and made eye contact with this little boy, he ran and grabbed hold of my leg with both arms. Muslim culture allows for something like what we would call foster parents, but there's no provision for true adoption, so those children would never truly have a family. In a land simultaneously overflowing with hopefulness and heartbreak, those orphans may have been the most soul-crushing thing I experienced there. In our gospel passage today, Jesus is about to leave his disciples after just having come back to them following the resurrection, and they're profoundly sad, verging on lost. They had been distraught after the crucifixion and then jubilant at his return, but his imminent departure is causing some separation anxiety in the group. But he gently reassures them, promising, "I will not leave you orphaned, for I will send the Advocate to be with you." And he says this Spirit will not visit them for a while, but rather abide with them forever. Stay and truly live with them full time in his absence. It's a beautiful, in fact, pastoral response to his leaving. I think it must have been truly comforting to these disciples because early Christian stories have them traveling to Britain, India, and Ethiopia to spread the good news. And they must have felt like God was truly living in them to be able to do such daring work on their own. Too often today, we Christians are living as though we are orphans. And it's the saddest thing I can imagine. We're simply grown-up versions living out the same tendencies as those children in that room in St. Vincent's creche. I see people run into the arms of every temporary affection, no matter how fleeting or even potentially destructive. And even if it's clear, there's no future in the relationship. They grab onto some significant other who will never be a true partner. Search for some validation from a superior that will simply never come, or change to fit in with whatever group may accept them in this particular moment. Too frequently, we see people desperately seeking for one to truly abide with them, to live and move and have their being together, but settling instead for one who not only fails to be an advocate, but turns out to be an accuser of sorts. Likewise, we see Christians all around us grasping desperately at things that are temporal, as though they had some more lasting significance. They cling to every possession, to things they cannot truly afford, to a job that is soul-numbing, but it pays well, and they will be able to win the game of consumption, to some empty thing they have elevated above or substituted for real relationships in their lives. They live without the assurance that they have not, in fact, been orphaned, without the realization that the Advocate is currently with them, and as an advocate, not simply with them, but actively for them, loving, holding, and upholding them forever. They grab hold of cheap and meaningless things as though they are not heirs to the riches of the kingdom of heaven itself. Even the pagan poets that Paul quotes in his argument in Acts can declare, "We are God's offspring." As Christians, if we proclaim anything short of that, we belie the gospel and make our faith less than some poetic pronouncement. We must do better, not only for our own sakes, but for the sake of an orphaned world that needs to be able to hope again, through us, in a better future, in the infinite love of God, the promises that exceed all that we can desire, and the good things that surpass our very understanding. Let God pour into our hearts once again both the love for God and the realization of God's ever-present love for us. That it may be said about us when people hear the story of our faith, oh, they are not poor at all, because they are never alone. They have a God who loves them, and the advocate, the very Spirit of God, with them always. They cling to no one because they have experienced sufficient love. They have a home, and they know this is only a temporal place. They know they possess riches that far outweigh the things they could cling to now. Our world has enough sadness and desperation to fill all the seas. Let us be the people of hope who can step in among the orphans of our world, alone and longing to be loved, and say to them, "Come with me. I know where you can find one who is for you, who will never leave you, and whose desire for you is goodness beyond all measure." Amen.